Welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Project Happy Place is an initiative to spark conversation and inspire people to visit their happy place every day. Happy Place is a feeling of contentment and joy. My guests are people that inspire me and hopefully you to do more of what makes them happy. My guest today is Dr. Christian Main. Christian is an accomplished scientist with a PhD in immunology from Imperial College in London. He currently resides in San Diego and works for a large pharmaceutical company. He also so happens to be my husband. I'm excited for you to tune in over the next 20 minutes to hear Christian's approach to finding his happy place. I've always been inspired by his dedication and passion for science. His approach to finding his happy place is a simplistic one that includes science, surf, and sun. Welcome to the Project Happy Place podcast, Dr. Main.
Okay, thanks. So my name is Christian. And just to let you know what my job is, I'm a scientist. I work for a large pharmaceutical company, and I do cancer research, specifically looking at ways in which we can use the immune system to kill cancer, which is also known as immunotherapy. I got to this field when I was doing a bachelor's degree. When I lived in London, I was doing a biochemistry degree. Few years into that, we started being able to take options outside of sort of basic biology and chemistry, which included immunology, which was the study of the immune system. So I did a few courses on that, and I enjoyed that. And I ended up, I knew I wanted to do a PhD in that area. I couldn't get a position at the end of my bachelor's, so I ended up doing a master's in immunology for another year, which included at least 6 months of lab work, which helped me then go on to get a PhD position in the same university. So eventually I managed to get a PhD position in the lab, working on immunology, specifically related to ovarian cancer. I did that for 3.5 years, maybe 4 years, and graduated. And then at that point, I was looking for a job while I was still writing my thesis before I graduated, and ended up contacting a lab in San Diego in a research institute called Scripps. Somewhere longer down the line, that may relate to human disease. And so while I was there for 6 years. And at the end of that, I ended up moving out of academic research and into like private research, industry research, and took a job with a small biotech company, which specialized in cancer therapies and making stem cells, which they then turned into immune cells to use for cancer purposes. And then from there, I've just been, I've moved to another 3 companies within the industry working in cancer research.
Cool, thank you. So I like what you said in the beginning. It's like, why did you do what you do, or why do you do what you do? And it's because you're good at it, and it's because you were interested in it. So I think that's just such an important step for people initially right off the bat, is to focus on what kind of drives their passion, especially if you're going to be in a career for a number of years and have to put in the legwork like you did throughout your schooling. So just because people aren't aware, how long from the time you arrived in London until you left to San Diego, how long was that time period?
It's probably 8 years mm-hmm. in total. So it's a lot quicker to do all of this in the UK than it would be in America. So 3 years for a bachelor's, 1 year for a master's, 3 to 4 years for a PhD, and that's pretty typical. Put that in perspective, in America, that would be typically like 4 years for your bachelor's degree, probably 2 years for a master's, and anywhere from like at least 5 to 7 years for a PhD.
Well, yeah. So even to me, 8 years seems like a long time, but it sounds like that's not so much if you're comparing it to how long this would take in the US. And what I like about your story as well is that when you decided, you know, you're going to leave London and find a job, a postdoc job, you were pretty laser focused on and specific with, I'm only kind of looking at these areas. And can you tell people a little bit more about that and what you were targeting when you looked to leave London?
Yeah, I've just grown weary with British weather in general, and I just wanted to go somewhere nice, somewhere with nice weather, somewhere preferably near a beach. I wasn't really thinking long term. I was just like, okay, I've done the PhD, the next thing is to do the postdoc. And a postdoc is like a, it's like a training position where you have a PhD, but you don't have, you know, you're not qualified enough to be a professor and run your own lab. You go and do this like apprenticeship, which basically sort of just extends your PhD research for another, you know, however long you want to stick it out for. The goal being that you eventually become an academic scientist. When in reality, what it is a very low paid job. It's kind of like low paid labor for a professor who can't afford to pay like market rates. And that's just kind of the system that's been established, the pathway that's been established in academic research. So I was like, okay, well, the next step, I did the PhD, the next step is a postdoc. Okay, where am I going to do the postdoc? Thinking, okay, I just want to get out of this country for a bit and go somewhere, you know, where I just enjoy living. I don't really care what type of research I'll do. I mean, at that point, I would have taken any job just to kind of go and experience something different. Essentially, it was like, instead of just going traveling on my own money, it was like, okay, I can go get paid and travel in a nice place. Getting paid at the same time. So I think I applied to jobs in San Diego, LA, and with Melbourne and Queensland in Australia.
Nice. So it sounds like, even in that, it's a simple parameters kind of. It's as though it's, I just want to go to a nice place. And to you, in saying Australia, San Diego, LA, a nice place equaled sun, hopefully water, and a place to surf. So even something as simple as that decision is super laser focused, because I would imagine that those things make you happy. So would you consider where you've landed now, San Diego, to be a happy place for you? And if so, what are some of the activities that you like to do in San Diego that make you happy?
Yeah, definitely. It's exactly what you want, right? It's just climate is perfect all year round. It's very unique in that you can actually, you have a town or a city, a major city really, which is on the beach, where there's a whole range of career options, especially in what I do for science. There's a huge biotech community here, which I didn't quite know at the time, but obviously since I've been here, our career opportunities are great. To get that like right on the doorstep of a beach is awesome, because you know, if you like surfing, which I do, it's perfect. You don't have to travel to do that. And especially if you're learning to surf, you need as fewer obstacles in your way to be able to do that as possible. And so living on the beach, you know, I was coming home from work, let's say 5-6 o'clock in the evening. In the summer, you still have at least an hour of daylight left, so you can just go down the beach and start surfing. So yeah, it's a great city to live in.
Thank you. And I do want to just say that for the record, while he did want to get out of the country, he is very proud to be from Wales. And I can attest to that because there is a Welsh flag in our garage and he is very fond of the country. So quick disclaimer there in case anyone from Wales might be listening. He's still very proud to be from Wales. So I just have a sidebar question, because you are a scientist, an immunologist in particular, and a lot of our friends, you are the only scientist that they know. It was even said at our wedding that you're the coolest scientist in the room. What is the question that you get asked most often in being a scientist?
So specifically, if they know I study the immune system, everybody asks me, what should I be eating to boost my immune system? Like, without doubt, that's probably the number one question. And then if we're talking about cancer research, everyone's always like, do you think we'll find a cure for cancer? So they're probably like the two main questions.
And specifically, what about COVID? Do you get many questions, or have you gotten any questions?
Since then, I suppose those number one and number two questions have probably been changed in the last year or so. Now it's, I suppose early on it was like asking me questions about what is COVID. And I'm not a virologist, somebody who studies viruses. So I don't know. I have a basic working knowledge of viruses, but I'm by no means an expert on viruses. So people would ask me, you know, what is it? You know, how do I get it? Things like that. And most of that information, you know, nobody really knew in the world at that point. CDC didn't know. I still think to this day, like, people are still unsure as to the answers to some of those questions. But yeah, people would ask me that. And then sort of where my strength is more in vaccination research, because that involves the immune system. It's things like, should I take the vaccine? Which vaccine should I take? I suppose before they came out, do you think a vaccine will actually be made? Will it be approved? When will it be approved? Things like that. So yeah, I suppose COVID is now one of the number one questions that I get asked.
And I have to ask, because I am learning this too, that people ask you, what should you eat to support their immune system? What should they eat to support their immune system? How do you answer that question?
I suppose, like, I just say, you know, just eat a healthy, balanced diet. I don't think, you know, it's not something that interests me, right? The idea of boosting an immune system is not really something that immunologists really think of in that sort of general way, because it's not just a case of you need your immune system to be super active and super vigilant at all times, because there's downsides to that, right? Because if your immune system is too active, then you get things like autoimmunity. You can get sick basically if your immune system is too active. So there's more nuance to it than simply like, what should I use to boost my immune system? And really the way we look at it is to look at drugs, not really nutrition. So I have looked into papers to see if I can find, you know, research that's been done on general nutritional habits and how they affect the immune system. But I mean, it's a huge field, which one, I'm not really interested in, and two, I don't think there's enough research really that's ever been done in that case. So, I mean, the best I could say is just eat a healthy, balanced diet, just be as healthy as you can in general, and that would help you. Where I am interested in is when diseases come into play, when we're not just talking about normal, healthy immune function, we're talking about this person now has a virus or this person now has a cancer. How do we fix that? So it's less prevention and more like, how do we fix things using the immune system?
Yeah, I mean, I think you put it well. It's just about balance. Each person is unique from the diet perspective. For what you do currently with cancer vaccinations, without getting too in the weeds on that conversation, because that we could be here all day, what inspires you on a daily basis than in your current work? Because I know a lot of people here, immunotherapy and cancer vaccinations now, and it's a pretty overwhelming subject. So what that you do on a daily basis inspires you and really makes you kind of feel happy, like what you're doing is fulfilling?
I think, you know, you see, it's really, I suppose it's all to do with like patient outcomes. Like, the reason the immune system is popular right now for cancer therapy is because there was a new, you know, set of studies and clinical trials done, about 10, 15 years ago now, which showed that if you essentially remove the brakes off the immune system in patients with cancer, the immune system could go seek out the cancer and kill it. And really shifted things like survival rates from, in some cases, in I think melanoma was the major trial that they did, from things like, 5, 10% survival up to, and sorry, this is in late stage melanoma, from like 5 to 10% survival to about 50% survival. And those are like huge shifts to go from, those numbers to 50% survival is phenomenal. And being in the immunology field at that time, that's exciting. Like people start to realize the power of the immune system. And then more recently, there have been trials using cell therapies in leukemia and lymphoma patients. And just by chance, a lot of these happen to be kids, which sort of makes it even more rewarding. Showing like some of these therapies are getting like 90% complete response rates by simply infusing in cells from the immune system into these patients and long-lasting remissions as well, like out past 5 years, 10 years. So those outcomes really show you the power of the immune system. And then what I want to do is take an idea of cancer vaccination, which has been tried in the past, which has been always just has a reputation of failure, and taking sort of new technologies, new understandings about vaccination and understandings about cancer, and putting those together to see if we can sort of recreate those type of response rates that cell therapies are seeing and the other immunotherapies are seeing. So I suppose it's patient outcomes, but obviously like, getting that on a day-to-day basis. But for me, just like the experiments that we do and seeing that it works in a mouse, which is our main kind of model that we use, just seeing that you can shrink tumors in a mouse, I mean, that's exciting. It gives you, hope that can translate into a human.
Definitely. And I think that sidebar as well, the removing the brakes from the immune system, and a quick plug for anyone that is not familiar or hasn't watched the documentary Breakthrough by Dr. Jim Allison, I'll include that in the show notes. It's a really fantastic documentary that can appeal to anyone. You do not have to have a science background. That's kind of the story that you're kind of referencing and sparking that hope in this field of cancer vaccinations. And I also think it's super interesting that you say you were kind of drawn to something that has a reputation of failure, but that has really positive patient outcomes, because that just shows that it's really something that can fuel you to kind of do it, because we spend so much of our daily lives working, but the find that you have a really passion behind this is what I've always been inspired by. I think one of the other things I find that is one of your quote unquote happy places would be cooking, specifically things that require a method around them that may be somewhat complex. So in the field of cancer vaccinations, it is extremely complex. So can you tell us a little bit about what you like about one of those other happy places, which could be cooking / grilling and barbecuing, and what you like about that?
Yeah. And actually, just to go back to like, I'm interested in a field that's wrought with failure. It's like, well, that's specifically interesting to me, because why would you want to just go replicate successes of what other people have done? That does not interest me. Right, going into those cell therapies and doing the same thing over again for a slightly different leukemia does not interest me. Going into a field where nobody has really gotten it to work and making it work is more interesting, I think, in that case. But yeah, I mean, other things I like doing. So I like cooking. I like to barbecue, smoke things. Yeah, it is there's a lot of work goes into it. I don't really know if that relates to why I like science or anything, because I don't, not really interested in the science behind it. I'm just kind of interested in the taste behind it. But yeah, I am kind of interested in, you know, smoking things for a long, long period of time and seeing if I can sort of replicate what I've had in restaurants, things like that. The fact that you can do it at home instead of having to go to a drive to a barbecue restaurant is fun, especially like during COVID as well. Also interested in making pizzas, which kind of, I think, you know, maybe that goes again to, I had a really good pizza once in a restaurant in San Francisco, and you ended up buying me the book, and I was like, well, maybe I can replicate that and have it for myself at home. So maybe it's like, I do these things because, you know, I just want to be able to do it myself and sort of master that technique and see if I can do it well.
Definitely. And that means that, you know, you are not only a accomplished scientist, but also a master griller and pizza maker. So something that I get to enjoy as well.
Yeah.
And so to kind of close things out, food is one of my happy places. So when I think of food, a smile comes to my face, whether it's eating out at a restaurant, pursuing a cookbook or perusing through it to find a new recipe, cooking in my kitchen. So with that in mind, I have a few closing questions that I want you to just answer with the thing that comes to your mind first. So salty or sweet?
Salty.
So with that being said, on a French fry train, because I'm a huge French fry connoisseur and that they are my happy place, would you say shoestring or waffle?
Waffle.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
So there we have it. The Welsh in you is coming out. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. I think my key takeaways from what you kind of said are that you originally got into this career because it was something that you were good at, and that it really sparked an interest and a passion that, you know, allowed you to be super laser focused in your career or and path that you've been doing it over the past 19 years now, and to be really simple, don't overthink it. You wanted to go somewhere where the weather was nice, and then you happened to land in San Diego, where they have a city, biotech, surf, and sand, which are all things that make you really happy. So sometimes coming to your happy place doesn't have to be something that needs to be over orchestrated or overthought. It can just be as simple as that. So thank you again for being on. And if people want to connect with you, should they just connect on LinkedIn? Is that the best place to find you?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. And stay tuned for the next episode. We'll be having them posted on a regular basis. And thanks for tuning in.